I wish you a wonderful good morning. Nice to have you with us again. And let us start this wonderful day with a prayer. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. We thank you that we can freely come into your presence. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have something on your heart to share with us this morning. And I ask you, help us to receive everything that you that you want to teach us this morning. Amen. You can open your Bible with me to the Old Testament, the first book of the Bible, and chapter 28. Here we have the story of Jacob. Jacob, who is the grandfather of the nation Israel, and he left home. There were some problems with his brother, and so he left home, and he was now on a journey. And he lay down his head, and suddenly he awoke and had a revelation and an encounter with God. And we read here in Genesis 28, verses 15 and 16, where it says, where God speaks to Jacob, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. For me, this place is so interesting. Later on, he calls that place Bethel. And later on in the history of Israel, we see that this place is always a very special place where people remind themselves, this is the place where Jacob met God in his dream. And also Jesus in John chapter 1, he refers to this instance. And it's so interesting how God talks to him. And it's a big encouragement where he says in verse 15, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. This is a promise that God always already did to Abraham, and then also to Isaac, and now the promise, the covenant is transferred to Jacob. And it's so interesting that God promises him to be with him all the time. But Jacob does not understand it totally, because he says, oh, I was not aware that God is in this place. So, did Jacob think that God was not with him yesterday, before he came to that place? And this is all oftentimes a belief that we have, maybe deep down, there are some special places where the presence of God is so strong. But unfortunately, in my room where I stay, the presence of God is not so strong. No. I have to go there and there. I have to meet this anointed brother. I have to meet this church. Oh, wow, in this church, wow, the presence of God is strong. But unfortunately, in my living room, in my bedroom, unfortunately, when I pray, I cannot go get through. There's such a cloud and such demonic activity that the presence of God is just not allowed. It does just not have room for. And this is nonsense. Because God promised here, Jacob, I am always with you. But somehow, we oftentimes, when we read the Bible, when we hear the word from God, we do not hear what is spoken. We hear what we think is said. And we see in the New Testament so clearly. You can open that verse with me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we see so clearly that the Holy Spirit speaks to us in a totally different way. It's not a special, holy, anointed place where God says, I live there. I live in the temple. Yes, he does live in the temple. But the question is, where is this temple, or who is this temple? And we read in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, where it says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? So you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple is not two train stations away from you. The temple is you. And how interesting is that to realize that so often we have a mindset that is totally from the Old Testament. And that has nothing to do with the New Testament, with the new covenant we live in today. Today we do not have temples where the presence of God dwells. Jesus says in John 4, there will come a day, that is now, where you will not worship God in Jerusalem or in Samaria. But there will come a day, which is now, which started at the time of Jesus, where God chose us as earthly, normal human beings to be His temple, to be the place of His dwelling, of His presence. And so the only distance that exists between you and God is your unbelief about His nearness that He promised. And many of us, we do not really believe that God's presence lives inside of us. Because we think, oh, I do not have the feelings that confirm it. Look at my life, look at my circumstances, so many challenges. If God would really be with me, if God would really be in my life would look different. Those are the words of Gideon in the Old Testament. Gideon, a man that had no revelation about you and me being the temple and the place of God's dwelling. How precious is it if we check over and over again, from time to time, that we check our belief. Are we believers? Because believers believe the Word of God, which says so clearly that you and me, we are a temple for the Holy Spirit of God that was given to us. And it's so, so important to realize that prayer does not bring me closer to God. Prayer does not bring God closer to me, but prayer sharpens my awareness of His nearness. And this is such a difference if you wait for God to draw near or if you read His word and believe it, that God is near. Yesterday, Robert spoke about the verse from James, where it actually says that draw near to God and then God will draw near to you. Yes, but that's not a thing of where sin in your life hinders God, or where your or lack of anointing, lack of holiness. No, it's talking about believing. And that was what Robert emphasized yesterday so much, that God is near. And we have to take the first step to believe it. And then God reveals Himself. But you don't have to run for 20 miles to find God somewhere. No, He's right in you, if you are a child of God. And how can you check if you're a child of God? If you have that desire in your heart to live Him with Him, to be close to Him, to live that life you were created for. And then the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. You ask for forgiveness and ask God to help you to find and live that life that He promised you. And then you're searching not for God anymore. You're searching for truth, that your heart realizes what is true. And the Bible tells us that truth will make us free. And oftentimes we have many beliefs in our minds, in our hearts, that are not true, that are misleading. In the last chapter of John, we find that Jesus talks about a disciple, and all the other disciples, they totally misquote and misunderstand what Jesus said. Jesus said, if I want this disciple to not die, it will be the way I want it to be. And all the disciples said that Jesus would have said that this disciple will not die. But Jesus did not say it. And it's so often that we read the Bible and we understand something that the Bible does not say. And we think, God is not close to me, because if my circumstances were perfect, this is the only sign that God really is with me. Because if God would really be in my life, the devil would have not so much freedom to cause all that trouble. Because if I'm close to God, I do not have trouble. Oftentimes we think that the Bible would say that. Because we think God is like us, and we think if I would be God, I would do it a certain way. But I maybe do not know God at all. In one place where I realized it a time ago, where this was happening with me, was in Luke chapter 7. And I want to read the verse 47, where Jesus is teaching a guy that he visited, that invited him. He was lying at the table having dinner with that guy, with a Pharisee. And then this lady, this very sinful lady, came up. And everybody thought, okay, why is this lady approaching our holy prophet? Is this allowed? Because she's sinful. She lived a sinful life. How can this sinful lady come up to Jesus? Isn't Jesus realizing that she's a bad person? But Jesus had something very important to say. And he says in 47, therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little. So this verse, I always understood that the verse said, if you love much, God will forgive you much. This is somehow always the message I got from it. And I read it through and I knew, okay, I know the story a little bit. Let's go over it superficially. And in the end, okay, if you love much, God will forgive you much. But this is totally not what it says. And if I am not cautious and aware that I am so easily misled by what I already know about the scriptures, and that I oftentimes I do not really listen. We have some studies from universities that show us when we read the words, they can with the letters be totally mixed up. Only if the first and the last letter of a word is in the right place, we can read the whole text. So imagine the word like Jesus. If only the J and the S in the end is in the right place, and then the letters in the middle, they're totally mixed up, we can read a text with that kind of writing, we can read it perfectly. Because our mind is used not to read what stands here, but is used to pick up the word that is closest to the letters I read. That are studies from universities, and you can check it on Google. Type in text with words I can read with mixed letters, you will find that study. And it's so interesting, because the same thing oftentimes happens when we read the word of God. We do not read what stands here. We read what we think is closer to the thing I know that could be here. But that is not a good way to read the Word of God and to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. How precious is it to realize what Jesus really said? Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. That means what was first? The forgiveness. So first I am forgiven. And as a normal, natural consequence, I can love much. And it's not the mindset of the Old Covenant, where I have to prove that I'm holy enough, that I'm righteous enough to earn God's blessing, to earn God's grace. Because that was the way of the Old Covenant. They try to lead us into the dark so that we cry out for God. But we are not in times of darkness. We are times of the new covenant, where Jesus wants to teach us how he sees us. And so precious is it if you start your day today knowing and believing that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Please do not wait for feeling A or feeling B to confirm the word of God. No, let your heart be attentive in listening to what the word of God really says. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. God loves to live inside of you. And the only distance you have between you and God is your unbelief of his nearness. So I do not pray to get closer to God. I pray to be more aware of his nearness. I do not pray for God to be more gracious with me. God is gracious, and I pray to understand and be more aware of his grace for me. And how precious would it be if we believe that God is near, if we believe that God gave us already all blessings that we need. God is so good, and he loves you so much, but he wants to encourage your heart this morning to believe his word, not to read what is not there, but to read what actually stands there. This heart that we need when we read the word of God, that heart that is attentive and open and really looking and listening to what God wants to teach us this morning. Amen. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you can teach us and talk to us this morning. I thank that you are living, and I thank you that none of us, we are not too stupid, we are not too sinful, we are not too anything to believe your word, to really be a place where the Holy Spirit loves to dwell. And I pray that you strengthen our faith to believe your word, and that you show us where we had a totally unbelieving heart, where we had wrong beliefs in our hearts because we do not read your Bible in an attentive way, in a precious way. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that I am a temple of God. And this morning, I want to teach myself your word. Amen.